Welcome to Corazont Technologies, home of the Digital Executive Podcast.
Welcome to the Digital Executive. Today's guest is Dean Guida. Dean Guida founded Infragistics in 1989. Over the past 30 years, Dean has grown the company to become a world leader in providing user interface development tools and multi-platform enterprise software products and services. He spearheads the Infragistics Innovation Lab.
Well, good afternoon, Dean. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much, Brian.
You bet, Dean. I appreciate you jumping on, and we're going to jump into your questions because I want to talk a little bit about your company you've had for over 30 years and jumping into some of the technologies, which is really exciting for not only me, but for our audience. So, Dean, you've got quite the career in tech. You're a serial entrepreneur and now the founder and CEO of Infragistics. Could you share with our audience the secret to your career growth and what inspires you?
Yeah, I think the secret is just really grit. When I was young boy, my parents got divorced when I was six, and we moved from New Jersey to Miami, and I just saw my mom struggling. And so, when I was 8 years old, I was trying to work, and no one would hire me. And I convinced the maintenance man in our apartments to let me do his job, and he kind of paid me off book. And ever since then, I've always kind of gone out into the world and figure things out and make money. And when I was 16, I was saving up for a car to, you know, take girls out like a lot of us do when we're younger. But instead, I bought an IBM PC, one of the first ones. And man, I loved that thing. And so, you know, I taught myself to program. I learned like every like 20 programming languages. And so I was always a kind of entrepreneur at heart. And so I loved writing software. And then I went to school. I got a degree in systems analysis, which is like probabilistic, deterministic models. And while I was in school, I was on the work study program, and I worked for the VP of HR. And he had this $8 million with payroll system that he spent millions of dollars for, and it didn't work. And I said, hey, I could fix that for you. He goes, you can't fix that. I says, well, does it really matter? You're paying me $3 an hour. And he goes, yeah, go ahead. And so then I fixed it. And he just couldn't believe it. And so like some of my own intrinsic motivations, just doing things that people just can't believe that you can do. And then just seeing that glitter in their eyes and that you can do it. And so after college, I moved up to New York City to work with all the smart people. There was a lot of money in the city, but maybe not as many smart people as I thought. But I worked down on Wall Street for a while, and I met my partner there, and we found Infragistics. And so early on in 1989, almost 33 years ago, we founded Infragistics, and we started building developer tools for business applications. And we built 33 years ago, we built a framework for developers so that they can quickly build business apps in a GUI environment. And it was very difficult at the time because a lot of people were coming from procedural programming to this whole event-driven programming model. And so we built this whole framework, custom controls way back then. And we were going to go to market with it, but everybody was trying to figure out how to program in Windows, and they had to learn all these APIs. And we're like, okay, we can't, even though we have value, we can't go to market with these APIs and expect everyone to learn. And so before we went to market, we wrote tooling around our API. So in the early 90s, really in 1990, we were founded in July of 1989. We built these WYSIWYG ability to build screens, menus, connect screens together, connect the databases, and we generated C code. So really 33 years later, as Infragistics, what we care about is our mantra is simple and beauty. Like we want to help create simplicity and beauty and happiness in the world, one app at a time. And so how we do that is we have a bunch of UX and UI frameworks for developers, and we sell to any developer. And we have a lot of ISVs like JDA, Intuit, Epicor, and a lot of enterprises, a lot of big financial services using our products to build their either commercial applications or to build their internal enterprise apps. And so we have a whole set of UI frameworks for web, mobile, desktop, all the popular web frameworks, React, Angular, Web Component, JavaScript. And we have the fastest grids and data visualizations and chart in the market. And so you have all these different UI components where you can build beautiful UI and user experiences. And we call that Ignite UI. And then we built on top of that, we really believe in the whole design process. So we built a platform, which is a digital design platform that can that takes design systems. So you have these design systems, which basically describe patterns of UI as low level as like a button, a grid, a chart, to more composite UIs that bring all those different UI elements together to create maybe a wealth management entry screen or a logon screen and all the fonts and colors and branding and experience that you want in a design pattern. So we have these design systems that then can plug into your designers when they're using Sketch, Adobe XD, or Figma, and they can go and use these design systems, you know, build on top of that for your own customization and branding and UI. And then whatever they build in these design tools, we bring into our digital app design platform, and then you can do unmoderated usability tests. You can collaborate around it. And then we generate production ready Angular code. And into the third quarter of this year, we'll generate React, Web Component, JavaScript, and also Blazor code from the Microsoft. And so this is like super productive way to go from design to code. And as well as, you know, fix that handoff problem that we have in the market where designers build something, hand it to the dev teams, and they either can't build it because it'll take too long or it's too complex, or they'll deviate a little bit from the design. And it's a big problem in the market. We're helping that designer code handoff. And in that platform, we have an amazing app builder, which allows people in a cloud-based scenario to drag and drop, build your screens, build them with connecting to data, and connect all your screens. And then again, we generate the code. So it's really productive. And Brian, I know you only asked one question, but I seem to be going on and here beyond that one question, but it kind of all flows. And if I could just say one more thing and then back to the interview, we also are really, we data analytics, machine learning, building really performant, modern analytics and dashboarding, we sell as a toolkit called Reveal. And it's meant for to be embedded in SaaS applications, enterprise applications, and built on modern architectures like microservices and connecting to all kinds of backend, big data, OLAPs, SaaS systems. And so you can just buy this Reveal embed engine from us, plug it into your app, and very quickly you'll get a great UX and connectivity to all these backends and a co-creator experience that you can expose to your users so they can self-serve and create their own dashboards and reuse. And we're really excited about that. That's a new a product that we just kind of brought to market in the last year, year and a half. And so that's our developer tool story where we're selling UX, UI, and embedded analytics to developers and designers in the marketplace.
That's awesome. I appreciate that. And I think that'd be a good segue, Dean, for us to kind of just talk, if you could touch on maybe some of the, just a tad deeper, not much for our audience, but, you know, leveraging some new and emerging tech in your tech stack. Obviously you did mention some of the tools and platforms you're using, but talk just maybe a little bit about machine learning.
Yeah. So machine learning is a lot of the major cloud providers will give you the data science tools to do that. So Azure, Microsoft Azure, the Google platform, and AWS all have these data science tools where you'll create or spend a lot of your time in the machine learning. Basically, you're building machine learning models, which are prediction engines based off of data to take data input and then output some prediction. And a lot of time you're spent in these tools really cleansing data. So you're ETLing or you're bringing data in from multiple data sources, whatever your production systems is, whatever your data is, you're bringing all these data sets in. You spend a lot of time cleaning it up, because as much as we do as app developers to make sure the data is good going into the database, there's a ton of cleanup you always have to do. So a lot of time spent just bringing in data, cleaning it up. Once you do that, then you start modeling these inputs to make some predictions, and you keep training it. And so we have it actually built into Reveal. What we do is we leverage that of like BigQuery and machine learning modules from Google, as well as from Azure. We can connect visually right into these ML models, so that when you're looking at a dashboard, we're going and we're accessing each row in the database, and each row we're handing off some data inputs into the ML model, and out comes those predictions. And so we made it really easy to blend in machine learning models that you build in a data science tool into our analytics of engine of Reveal, so that in that dashboard, you're actually seeing the actual data and then the predictions. And so it's a really good technique using probabilities to help automate, predict, and help businesses run better.
I love that. You're truly leveraging that technology. And again, what's really great, Dean, is, you know, you started on this path 33 years ago and have continued to, move to each iteration and continue to innovate around this technology. And so it's people like you that are really making the world move forward as far as innovation and, you know, helping people in their lives. So I appreciate the share on that. And then Dean, real last question here. Could you share something from your career experience that would be helpful for those looking to grow their career in either tech or entrepreneurship?
Yeah, I mean, I think everything, people hear about these incredible stories where it looks so easy and people are so successful. It's just not true. I mean, I'm sure that, I mean, it's like the outlier that it is. So it really just takes a mindset of keep learning, because, you know, change is so rapid. And like in our specific space, innovation and technology is at a rapid rate of change. And then us, or our market, which is we build developer tools for application developers, we have to be like 4 or 5 steps ahead of even that rate of change. And so what you do is you create a culture of innovation. Like innovation is like, it's not a magical, it sounds like a magical word, but like you end up having to live innovation to survive and thrive as a, in the tech space. And some particular key elements of that are, you want to give the space to the inventors the ability to explore. And so we created this innovation fund that actually does that, where we're able to like not have the pressures of the market and customer request and the pressures of delivering revenue, where you can explore these ideas. But innovation also happens where you just create a space where people feel comfortable. I mean, there's an HR term, psychological safety, but it's so important, because you need to create this space where people feel really comfortable to bring up problems, to talk about ideas, and then collaborate on that. And so really innovation happens around just these principles. And probably the biggest inhibitor of innovation, or someone starting a company or entrepreneurship, is just not doing it. Like believing and listening to those naysayers, which everyone says you can't compete. Everyone says you can't achieve it. And all I say is that don't listen to your inner voice that's telling you can't do it. Don't listen to the naysayers. Listen to them from the point of view of they may have problems they're defining that you need to resolve and figure out. But don't listen to them. Go for it. Get in the game. And that's probably the biggest inhibitor to innovation, is just not having the courage and listening to all these naysayers, which is what happens when you're trying to do something new or you want to create some innovation.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing that. And you're absolutely right. You've got to really, especially as the leader or the CEO or entrepreneur, you've got to be in the middle of that, really leading that team, leading that think tank, and bringing in the people that truly share your same vision. So thank you again, Dean. And Dean, it was a pleasure having you on today, and I look forward to speaking with you real soon.
Great. Thank you very much, Brian. I appreciate it.
Bye for now.